This is McCarty, and listening to the Paw Fathers.
You spend time with your family?
Sure I do.
Good. Because a man who doesn't spend time with his family can never be a real man.
All right, what's up? It's the Podfathers. It's KFC. We got Clem in person, live in the flesh here. And we got Chaps, as per usual, with his new dog out in Texas. I think last week, Claps. I've been doing that.
I think that's 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, Chem, Claps. I'm like your grandma who can't get the name straight. Too many fucking podcasts. I think I would say last week, Chaps, you were the idiot of the bunch because of your dog situation.
Yep.
And I think perhaps this week I might be the idiot of the bunch, because as you listen to this, I will be on vacation with my family, which sounds like a good thing, but when you're traveling with a one-year-old, it sucks, and there's only a certain list of places you really can go, and I will be flying across the country to go to Disneyland.
You fucking
wait.
Moron!
You're going to...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that seems to be the general reaction that I'm getting.
You're going to the California one?
The California one.
So you added extra hours to your flight to go to the California
one? There is no Zika in California, Chaps.
Did you listen to the podcast that we did a couple weeks ago where we were like, don't ever go with a baby on a plane unless like...
I was the one leading the charge, of course.
That was not a Kevin call on the Zika thing. You were
Chaps,
completely.
Let me tell you something, bro. If you think there's any such thing as a Kevin call in my house anymore, you are sadly mistaken. There are no calls.
You took a 2.5 hour flight and turned it into a 5 hour flight. So instead of doing 5 hours total on the plane with the baby with no layovers, you turn it into 10 hours.
It's a horrible decision.
I mean, The bright side is she'll never remember this vacation.
I was going to say, at least she's of age where she'll really enjoy Mickey and Minnie and all the people that she has no fucking clue who they are.
Who the fuck is this guy? That's what she's going to say when she gets off the plane.
Also, I haven't even begun to think about the time difference. How the fuck does that work?
Oh, my God.
She's been waking up at 4:45 this past week. She's going to be waking up at 2 in the morning.
You are going to be up with your baby 7 hours before the park opens.
You're so stupid.
It's so dumb. I'm so fucked. Honestly, what am I going to do when my baby is waking up, and this is not an exaggeration, at 2 a.m. in Anaheim, California? I'm going to have to live nocturnal for a week.
You're going to have to ditch the baby Benadryl and go for the real thing.
Yeah,
man. I might need, like, forget about the Benadryl. I need, like, Ambien.
But seriously, that's your dad hack of the day, is that at, like, 8 o'clock, give her a little ass some Benadryl.
So it's going to be interesting because my wife is still very much like, I don't really want to drug our baby to put her to sleep, so I'm going to have to, like, sneak this
Slip
Benadryl.
It to her. Act like she's...
Drug your wife and then drug your baby.
Act like she's Kim Jong-un's half-brother that just got assassinated.
Just throw it in her face. Pow! Go to sleep.
It's liquid. Slip a little into her bottle, and she won't even know the difference.
I need to just do that discreetly, where it's like, oh, I'll make the baby's bottle in the bathroom with the door closed. Don't worry, honey.
Lock it with a click.
Why don't
you
go down and
get
the
unflavored one that's like... The unflavored one's like clear, so you can't even tell.
Yeah, no, trust me. I have those. It's just a matter of I'm going to be in close quarters in a hotel room and like we're on a plane, and I don't know.
She finds it in your bag.
I'm fucked. That she would like probably divorce me on the spot. She's very much against drugging the kids. I'm like, oh, okay. White knight here riding in to save the baby from being poisoned against her will. Jesus Christ. So, that was the deal. Obviously, we don't want to be done after one. So we're talking about having a family down the road, and the doctor starts talking about Zika. And the thing is, my wife gets bit by fucking mosquitoes like crazy.
Really?
I always joke around. I don't even wear, I don't even need bug spray ever. I always just joke that I just stay near her, and they, They're all attracted to her. And obviously, there's like a 99.999999% chance nothing's going to happen. But what would happen on my trip is like she would get eaten alive one night, and then it's in her head, and then the whole trip's ruined anyway. Which the trip stinks to begin with, and then it's even more ruined.
It would just be one bite, and the one bite was like the lead Zika mosquito itself.
I mean, the KFC mush would strike in the form of Zika.
How is Zika still a thing? I thought we fucking killed that shit once the Olympics were over.
Apparently
like,
not,
right.
Man. This was originally supposed to be a Turks and Caicos trip, and then it was like, you know, let's not risk it. And then I was like, all right, let's just go to Florida. Nope, apparently Florida's too tropical. So where's the place there's no Zika? Anaheim.
And you don't even get the Angels in town. You could go. I mean, not that you would see. She wouldn't let you out for two.
No, I mean, we're doing. I don't know what we're going to do. I mean, she's one,
bro. Where are you staying?
She's
are you staying on Disney or are you staying off?
I think we're on.
Attaboy.
That's
nice. We just made reservations for the summer, too.
And
we're going to
Disney. And
that's
the right
way
to do it. You're saying staying on campus or whatever they call it, on site?
Yeah, because then you got to get the fucking shuttle. And the best part, if you get a place on there, you can go to any one of them. So once you get really tired of going to, like, fucking Magic Kingdom, I mean, how many times in days can you spend really at Magic Kingdom before your feet hurt and everybody's fucking miserable? You could just go to all the different resorts, too, and, like, hang out at the different ones and eat there and shit.
The thing is, I think California is different, though, because it's just fucking, it's just two parks.
It's just a parking lot.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's not Disney World, bro. It's Disneyland.
Disney Florida is legit. Disney, this is the bullshit one because I've done both. We're diehard
Great.
Disney people, wifey and I.
Okay.
And
way to really boost.
I was gonna say, nice.
He's like,
thanks,
probably
Clef.
Just dropped a couple grand. Going, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Like,
I have never flushed.
That sucks,
I have never
man.
Flushed this much money down the toilet for this worse of.
I guarantee Kevin didn't even like know he was going on the trip till like last week. Your wife was like, "Oh, by the way, we're going to California,
bro." You're saying that as a joke.
He just got back from Texas.
She texted me.
He had no right to say no.
She texted me in Houston, like we're going. I was like, "Okie dokie."
This was an.
She could have said we're going to Afghanistan.
That is what we talked about on the podcast. Like whenever normally you could put up a fight, you had no fight because you were gone for 10 days. She's a smart woman.
She is a conniving, cunning woman. She cucks me.
Yeah, you got cucked the shit
bro,
out.
Bro, I've been getting cucked since I got down on one knee, okay? It is cuck city.
And we had just talked about that on the podcast that – You when you're gone for 10 days, when you're gone for fucking 2 days, you don't have the right to say no, like
to anything.
You can't say no to Wendy's. You can't say no to shit. You can't say no to a new designer purse. You sure as fuck can't say where your Zika concern is not valid. We're going to go to Florida.
Yeah.
So you just had to completely suck it the fuck up and go wherever she wanted to.
There was also some element like we didn't really do much for her birthday. We just kind of did like a small family thing. And she was like, I feel like I have like mom guilt about that. And I was like. Again, that's not something where I can be like, oh, shut the fuck up. There's no – She's one. So I was just like, okay. To be honest, listen, there's about two things. One, I'm just not going to be here. Like, I could go on vacation to, like, Ohio right now. I could go to, like, Cleveland. As long as I'm not, like, sitting next to Portnoy and doing all this shit, I'm happy to get away. And two, it's going to make my wife happy. Happy wife, happy life. Now,
and you could have been in Paris. You could have been in Disney Paris.
Yeah, maybe we should have done that. No, the only thing, though, is, I mean, it's already crazy enough how long we're going to be on the plane with this baby. She's like a shark. She has to keep moving. She does not stop. So
I thought you were going to say your wife is like a shark where she can smell blood in the water that you were in Houston. It was like, chomp, motherfucker, chomp.
She also has multiple rows of teeth. And she eats license plates and shit. I mean, yes, I'm going to try my hardest to drug her. No, I'm not going to be doing any of that shit where you see someone, like, get on the plane and they leave, like, gift bags for everyone and with a note saying, like, I'm sorry, my baby's...
I don't think anybody thought you were going to do that.
No, I don't think anyone mistakes
like
me for that guy. To be honest, I don't think anybody's that guy except for the one person who went viral for doing that. That's a fucking...
Yeah, people that just want Pinterest upvotes.
Try hard
like-
move. Way over the top. I don't give a fuck about the strangers I meet on a plane. Oh, my baby's crying and ruining your flight to Anaheim? I don't give a fuck.
You better be on your game, though, because I'll tell you, there's a chance there's going to be a stoolie on that plane, and if you pull any bullshit...
Fuck.
I had a stoolie on a train. We were taking the train home. Sienna was sick. My wife had to get off at White Plains because she had to go to a friend's house. She throws a shit fit for like 20 minutes, and there was two stoolies right across the road from me who had introduced themselves earlier, like before we got on the train. And I was like, these fucking guys, like, please don't tweet out like my kid, or like a video of my ass.
Clem doesn't know how to be a dad.
Yeah,
exactly. His baby's a bum. Yeah, I mean, I think that stoolies who listen to this show would not do that. I feel like when you're listening to Podfathers, we're like all in the same boat. We're kind of in the trust tree.
I'm talking
like,
the GoPres Go crowd, though.
Yeah, those like 16-year-olds. They're babies themselves.
They'll fucking roast your ass good.
So
let me ask you this about the flights. Are you going? Do you have connection?
No, I think it's direct, and it should tentatively be not like I'm pretty sure everything goes out the window, but it should. The bulk of it should be around her nap time, at least getting out there. Coming home's going to be a fiasco because I don't know what time zone we're going to be on or in. But I think
she's still bottling it at all. Like
yeah,
bottle life?
Yeah. No, she'll still do the bottle life. She has, you know, her specific foods that she likes. I'm going to load up on that, but I'm going to slip some of that liquid Benadryl in and put that like 9-ounce bottle in there and be like, get drunk and pass out.
I can't all right, believe
you're
so
going. You want some dad tips about flying. I've done some long distance.
Yeah, dad hack flying edition featuring Uncle Chapsy. Let's go.
All right. So it's kind of like the same idea of whenever you're going to take them shots, you know, right before you get a shot. If you have a kid that's still on the bottle, you make them as hungry as absolutely possible. So you withhold food for a little while so they're like damn near starving. So then whenever they get it, they get the shot, they're fucking hungry, they're in pain. So whenever the soothing bottle goes into their mouth, they down it as fast as possible. And just like you, whenever it's Thanksgiving and you eat as much food as fast as you can and your belly is fucking full to the brim, you're more likely to sleep. That's the same thing that happens with them on the plane.
Especially when you poison
them
with
Benadryl.
As
soon as you're about to take off, boom, hit them with the Benadryl bottle that's full to the brim. They're going to sleep through anything, even the blowout that they're inevitably going to have because they ate too much right away.
Definitely, definitely.
So you just keep them going. Everybody's smelling the shit diaper, and you don't give a fuck. You keep charging. Because it's kind of like whenever you're leaving third base with a baby on it with a full diaper on a plane. Like, once you've reached the halfway point, you're not going back.
You gotta go home. You can't go back.
You're just fucking trucking the catcher. You know it's against the rules at this point. You're going to get called out anyway because they're blocking the plate. Doesn't fucking matter. You're going in and you're taking them out, Javi Lopez style.
The blowout, the inevitable blowout, too, is so true. She's just been shitting in her sleep all the time recently. Every time I wake up in the morning, I'm like, already? Already? The day hasn't even started. It's 4:45, and I got a load in your fucking diaper. It's unbelievable.
My daughter had the opposite, where she would never shit in her sleep, but she would always shit after I changed her night diaper. And I'm like, well, I guess you're going to be in your shit for an hour, because I am not doing 2 diapers in 5 minutes. Fuck that shit. Literally.
Oh, God, this show. You know what? I feel like we've really just hit our stride when it comes to honesty at this point. Like, yeah, I'm going to make you sit in your own shit for a while because I can't be inconvenienced, all right?
The first dad that says they didn't do that, fuck you.
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
You don't care if it's a penis tip filled with poop or a vagina. That thing is going to be filled and you don't give a fuck. You wipe it out later. Who cares?
She has a rash. It's like, well, I didn't want to inconvenience myself for 5 seconds.
Yeah,
what
guess what?
She
shits her pants a lot. You're going to get fucking rashes. It happens.
Yeah, that's a rash. Goddamn daycare.
Yeah, that's fucking daycare people. What's wrong with them?
So wait, you traveled around. Have you done trips, Clem?
Just locally, like Jersey Shore and stuff like
that. I'm really confused about the time zone stuff. And I didn't think about it at all until my wife just last night was like, what are you going to do? And I was like, or last week. And I was like, oh, my God, we're fucked. I don't know what's going on right now. She's been waking up at 4:45 on the dot every day. It's going to be 1:45? 1:45. It's 3 hours, right?
Do you remember the episode where we were talking about like the hour change and how fucked everything?
Yeah.
It's like that. With,
times
like,
three.
Napalm and gasoline on top. Yeah. Of it, basically.
See, but luckily for us, as the parents, they're a lot more adaptive than we are. Like me, like if I go to Vegas or something, my body is fucked at this point because I'm 34. Make your first day as miserable as possible and keep her up to her normal bedtime, and she'll kind of sleep the same amount of time that she does because she doesn't really have like a body clock.
Yeah, I'm also just gonna. I don't know. She's got a pretty fucking. She's a pretty regimented kid. It's weird. It's been like literally every time I pick up my phone when she starts crying, it's 4:45. Like, this is bizarre. It's like she's got her
own
iPhone.
She's
in
a
there.
Fucking. What's the. Goddamn. Rooster. She's a rooster.
Yeah, she is. She's in her fucking crib. Like, the other day, the dog barked in the middle of the night and woke her up. I was like, I'm going to kill everyone in this room. I'm going to kill everybody.
You
Otto did it the other night. Oh. He was about to get fucking DDP from the top rope.
And, like, for absolutely nothing. Like, you know, there was no reason to bark at all. He was just, burr, burr, burr. And then I'm like, shut up, shut up. Now I'm screaming. She's like, stop screaming. Everyone's crying. I was like, God damn it. This life sucks.
I want to say this in the
I could have called Pete to come and kill him.
Yeah, if he would have killed that dog. I am trying to say this in the nicest way as possible. I now understand a little more why some murders have happened in this world.
Oh, absolutely understand.
Yep.
I like where this is going.
Yeah. No, man, I've always said that, like, you know, you hear some of these stories, and I actually remember one of the uncles in my family kind of said this to me once. And
are they going
to
say he was a murderer?
But the way after he was talking, I was like, maybe he is. He was like, it was when Shay was first born, and I was kind of like, yeah, it's, you know, Shay's not sleeping, and Caitlin's still under the weather, like, you know, recovering. And so we're just commiserating. And he just kind of like blankly looks off, and he's like, yeah, man, you know when you hear those stories, like, they just load the kids up in the minivan and just, like, drive into a lake, drive up the, like, off the ramp, off ramp. Like, sometimes I just think to myself, I get it now. And I was like, whoa, dude. At this point, Shay was, like, 2 months old. I was like, I don't think you should be saying these things to me.
Congrats, by the way, on the baby.
Right. But now, you know, a little over a year in, I'm like, shaking babies and this and that. I'm not going to do it. I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying. I can understand.
I understand, right?
I absolutely understand.
This is, you're going to be like Scotty from Boogie Nights. You're just going to be like, I'm an idiot. I'm a fucking idiot.
It's so true.
My wife, I'm lucky where, Kevin, I feel like your wife like relies on you to do stuff. As soon as I got to hotel, my wife would be like, what are you going to do? I'm going to go look for like the video. Do they still have like video game rooms at hotels?
It's not 1992.
I would be looking. I'd still be looking for the video game room. And I'm like, and I'm going to go swimming in the indoor pool. Like, though, my wife is bringing 2 kids with her wherever she goes.
Right. No, I hear that. You're giving me a little too much credit. I think I'm doing cannonballs in the pool like shortly after. Yeah. I'll be like, we'll get into the hotel and I'll like lay down on the bed and pop the TV on. She's gonna be like, what are you doing? We have to like go do this, that, and the other thing, and it's gonna suck for like 5 straight days.
I feel like that's the difference between mom vacation and dad vacation. Dad vacation, I basically want to do the same thing I do at home, just in a hotel room. Like,
yes.
I want to watch sports. I want to hang out.
Dude, there's only one thing I want to do in the world, and that's like hang on a couch. It doesn't matter where I am or how much I paid to do it. That's what I want to do.
Yep.
Yeah, and like you're in a hotel room, and you want to like... The bathrooms are always fun. Like fucking with the new soaps and stuff.
Dude,
you're like,
hopping in the
being
tub.
Crazy liberal.
I want to take a bath in the bubbles and shit.
Yeah.
Put on the robes. Like, yes, that's what's up. And
so we went to a fucking
place
here.
Let's go.
It's like a golf resort that's really nice. And we're doing like a little stay vacation. I walk in and the fucking bathroom had a handicap stall that was just a big shower. Like, we had all packed up our stuff, didn't even look. Like, unpacked everything. My wife got everything good. I went in there to go to the bathroom, and I'm like, what the fuck?
It's like a locker room almost, right? It's just like one big shower room, right?
And I was so upset about it, being as lazy as I am, that I was still like, no, we're packing up everything else.
Wow.
And we're getting a fucking tub room right now.
You're addicted to the bath these days, huh?
I know. So I called him down, and I was like, none of us are handicapped. We're not in a wheelchair. We want a tub. I want a tub. I want extra shampoo because I'm going to make the biggest fucking bubbles you've ever
seen. Chaps was like, my wife and my daughters really want that tub, sir.
Sir, I have a 4-year-old, I'll have you know, and getting chlorine out of their hair is very hard. It takes a long time.
Water view or garden view? I don't give a fuck. Just give me a bath view. That's what I want.
I've been team bath forever, man. I fucking love a good bath. I don't care who.
Yeah, dude.
Everyone
I feel like as dudes, people... They like look down on it.
Oh, absolutely. It's frowned upon. They think it's girly. They think it's weird. I'm like, whatever, man. This is delightful. I'm having a blast.
Have they ever seen Maverick? Just saying.
Wow. Digging deep.
I was
going to
say a Maverick reference. Wow. So I'm totally fucked on the plane. Totally fucked once we get there. Like, I don't want to walk around the park, and then I have a tired, like, 1-year-old.
What? She can go in, like, Dumbo. She can go in one ride in the entire fucking park.
Yeah, I'm wondering how it's going to play out where, like, after one day, will my wife be like, all right, well, we'll just, like, do adult things and bring Shay along because it's silly to, like, or is she going to plow through this and be like, we're going to the park every
you're
day.
You're getting mad pictures, dude.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's what the goddamn Instagram
and
stuff.
It's about pictures with Simba.
And those lines are long.
Long lines.
Forget about the fact that you also have to bring, and people without kids, a lot of our listeners don't have kids. Think about this. When you're traveling by yourself, how long are you going for? 4 or 5 days?
4 or 5, yeah.
So you're going 4 or 5 days, so you have to have the big suitcase basically for you. You might be able to do the carry-on and shit, but you have a big, your wife definitely has
the packing
the
whole apartment, yeah.
Yeah. But then you also have the stroller. And you have the car seat.
And the diaper bag. And then the human.
You're like going through like you're a hobo trying to go from fucking Iowa to goddamn California for the winter. Like, you're just completely fucked.
There's no sugarcoating this one. I feel like I'm going on vacation. I feel like I'm going to war. It's like, Godspeed. Hopefully I make it back.
We
complained at the beginning of the show that packing up to go to the beach, like a 2-hour trip, is a pain in the ass. You got to do all that shit and be mobile.
Oh, my God.
Like I said, we love Disney almost more than anything. And anytime someone who like brings a kid younger than 3, I'm like, you're a fucking idiot. They're not going to remember anything. Mm-hmm. You're going to just hate it. They're going to probably be pissed off just because they're always pissed off. And you just did it I guess you didn't voluntarily do it. You were told via text message. Is that what happened?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, I was like, I booked the trip to Disneyland. I was like, okie dokie, can't wait.
Love you.
Let's go, babe. So, like I said, at least I'm not here, I guess. That's my only...
And you know what I'm going to say? At least I'm not there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're definitely going to have... This is going to be the tale of two podcasts, because when you come back, you're going to be like, God damn, I'm glad to be back at work.
Yep, absolutely. Grass is always greener.
During Christmas time, you said you couldn't wait to get back to work, and you were doing all your favorite things on the couch at home, and now you are doing that.
Clem, I really don't need you pointing out the specifics here. Trust me, I know where I'm at. It's only making it worse.
And this is the other thing I wanted just to say. What adult things do you think you're doing in Anaheim, fucking California?
I was actually
other than
to
you're going
that.
To Los Angeles.
Yeah, like, is there like some nice restaurants on site or something like that?
I went to. We did like. This was such an awesome trip. We did San Francisco, drove all the way down, like, on the coast, like, the Route 1 highway. It's, like, Big Sur. It's fucking, like, an awesome highway right on the thing. L.A., awesome. Anaheim, trash. San Diego, awesome. And we did a baseball stadium at every single
place.
It's,
like, stuck right in between the awesome stuff.
It's, like, I don't even know what to... Have you ever been to Anaheim, Chaps?
Yep.
It's just nothing. It's like Orlando.
I'm probably just going to get blacked out. Probably just be drinking a lot.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. It's just going to be drinking.
You're doing fast passes, right?
Yeah, so the other side of this is my wife is, like, so incredible at planning these things that I don't even know what we have, but I know we have it. I know we have every pass. I know we have, like, extended hours, pre-hours, vouchers. I guarantee we got it all because that's how she rolls. So if there's a best way to do Disneyland, I'm doing it. I'll tell you that much.
And milk that baby and the first trip and everything. They will bend over backwards. They'll probably just let you cut the lines for everything.
Absolutely.
You know, do it
100%. I'm going to be like, pinching shit to make her cry.
Nobody at Disney World gives a fuck if you have a baby. Everybody has
got a baby.
But no, you just play it the right way, man. You say it's their first trip, this and that. You play a little sob story.
Maybe if you got some olds that are standing there. But if you got other people, like, they're little kids too. Like, everybody's got
Yeah, if someone tried to cut me because they had a crying baby, I'd be like, I got my own. Get the fuck behind
crying
me.
Crying baby works at, like, sports games, though. Like, if you're trying to get, like, I'm just trying to get out of here, man. Like,
right. But when you're in Kids Central and everyone's in the same boat, it's like, yeah, we all have crying babies. We're all stupid enough that we came to Disneyland.
Smart thing, though, is that you're going whenever it's not summertime.
Yeah,
because
I guess so.
The summer heat. At Disney World in Florida is going to be brutal.
Yeah, but that would almost be like, it's too hot, honey. Let's go back to the hotel. You know, I'm going to have like perfect park temperatures, you know. Be like, let's go back to the hotel bar. Shay will play with like the peanuts or something.
I will say this about Disney California. Just like Disney Orlando, it has some of like the great rides, like the Pirates. They're awesome. So much fun. The Haunted House, blah, blah, blah. Cars, great ride.
I heard about that. Cars World.
You can't go in any of those, though.
Why not?
What, are you going to leave the wife with the kid and then go by yourself?
Maybe.
She's going to go on those rides
by
herself.
She loves
You're
that
not
shit.
Going on shit by yourself.
Yeah, she particularly loves rides and stuff, so I'm going to have to just like stand there with Shay, which is fine. Whatever.
It's fine.
Y'all three?
Yep. I feel like Chaps is nodding in disapproval like, yep, that was another mistake you made. You know what else it was, too? My nanny had that week off, so we were like, we have to plan something, and so it was just like, we got to do something, and then Disneyland.
That's why you bite the bullet on the flight and go, all right, Mom, you want to go to Disney and be with the baby? And then at least you could do some fun stuff, get blacked out together.
That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, we're paying for an extra room for my mother-in-law, my mom, to come down whenever we go.
Yeah, that would probably just only make the trip worse. I understand the value of having my mom there to help babysit her, but it would make almost everything worse.
There's definitely elements of that, too, especially with my mother-in-law.
The ultimate double-edged sword there. It's like, yeah, I don't know.
At least you go on the cars ride, I guess.
I guess.
Chaps, is this the mother-in-law's the one with, hey, grandma, move your fucking ass?
Yeah.
Get in the fucking
get
car.
Get the fucking car, grandma. Yeah.
Shout out
get
to
get on the fucking ride. Get on the fucking teacups, grandma.
Shout out to McCartney making her podcast debut with the Podfathers drop on this episode. You got to play that back for her and be like, this is the first time you were on air. Who knows? Maybe she'll be like a on-air personality one day when she grows up.
That was definitely not a one-take everybody-knows-the-rules type of situation. It was, I probably have 80 recording because she would be like, I'd be like, okay, now say this is McCartney and you're listening to the Podfathers. This is Daddy and he's a Podfather. Okay.
You should send them all over. We'll just drop different ones in each time.
Yeah, just do a mixtape. Yeah, have Rowan make the beat over.
McCartney now. Mix. I love it. All right, so let's get into the diaper bag now. These are all the questions from our mailbag. If you want to email your question, story, whatever it may be, it's kfcradio.com/askdad. We have a whole template that you fill out to tell your story. So so let's get into it. This comes from Kurt. He's got a 6-month-old. He says, I'm a Chicago transplant living permanently, thanks to my wife, in Philly. So how do I handle sports allegiances? I'm still tied to my Chicago teams, so they're on our household TVs the most. Do I let my kids develop an affinity for those teams, or do I push them towards rooting the local Philly teams? Part of me wants them to be invested as much as I am, but it would be weird for them growing up not cheering for the teams of the city they live in. My wife is already coming hard with Villanova/Phillies gear for our daughter, so as a Butler alum/Cubs fan, I feel like I have to make the decision soon. My wife and I both love the podcast, so keep up the good work. It's just funny, out of like all the questions and shit that we've dealt with, like I feel like sports allegiances come up the most. Can you let your kids decide? Do you raise them one way? If your team sucks, do you purposely not raise them to do that? I think ultimately at the end of the day, you're doing your kids a disservice if you make them a Cubs fan in Philly. I think that makes their life harder. They want to watch the game with their friends. They want to be a part of like the Phillies. And they have to be like, no, I'm a Cubs fan because my dad lived there, even though I have never been there. You know, it's like it's too loose of a connection.
This is my thing, though. If it's any other city, I'd say yes. I don't want
Philly.
It's
yeah,
Philly.
Like, that's true.
And I know I'm a New York guy and I don't like Philly because the Mets and because the Giants. But like Philly's known as just like the loser city, isn't it? It's just like the loser city.
I mean, they're trash people.
Yeah, I'm getting chirped at about.
I mean, the big problem is that you're raising your kids in Philly, bro.
Yeah, I mean, let's go back to the root of the problem. Your wife made you move to Philly. And I guess it would be the same way if like you move from Philly to Chicago. Like those kids are now Cubs fans and Bulls fans. They got the Philly stink off of them now.
True. I guess it does depend on the city. But do you know what I'm saying about like. When you're, it makes, for us, if I move somewhere, I'd be like, I'm a Mets fan, but I'm a goddamn grown adult. When your kid is like 7 and he just wants to be like, I'm a Phillies fan like my buddies, and you're like, no, you're a Cubs fan. It's tough, you know?
My buddy had a similar issue where he grew up rooting for California teams. That's where he grew up. And now he basically got hit. He almost like changed himself a little where he started rooting for the New York teams more and more. And then when he had kids, they just instantly became New York fans. And he got like the Giants right off the bat with the Super Bowls. So it's like, I definitely think I wouldn't with the kids, though. I don't push them either way, though. I think
you
let them decide.
Yeah.
You let your allegiances known. Your wife's apparently already letting her allegiances known.
Right.
Wives are dirty with this stuff, too.
They
want their way. They're going to sneak in the.
I remember this football season, like week one, all of a sudden. Shea comes out in a goddamn Victor Cruz shirt. I was like, where did you even get that? What is going on? And we had discussed it. I get baseball. She got football. It was a trade I was willing to make. But she just really, like, threw it in my face week one. I was like, oh, we're really doing this, huh? Okay. Because I definitely thought that I was like, okay, you can have football, but I'm going to, like, still weasel my way in there because I'm going to dominate sports. I think she was thinking that, too. Came hard over the top with the memorabilia right away.
You got to
like,
answer back. You got to get Shea one of those Mets 2017 World Series champion tattoos that, like, she's calling her shot. Be like, now what do you think, wifey? Now what's up?
I think it goes to level of passion of a sports fan. Like, if you're, like, the more passionate one, then you get to have the call. But I also think that if this guy's smart, the Cubs fan's smart, he's like, look,
We're about to win a bunch of titles. We're about to go through a run. Yeah.
Like, don't you want your kids to see what it's like to win in October and see their faces and have pictures of them celebrating after a World Series title instead of being like a sad sack Sally Phillies fan? Like, you can really go don't you care about the happiness of your children?
Yeah.
But
that's
basketball,
a very good
point. I feel like you can give up college basketball for me, because then, one, you're smart because you go with numbers of games played. That's why you were smart to go baseball. Number of games played and days that she can watch sports with you with your team drastically outweigh the 16 games a year that the Jets are going
to
play.
Also, like, I mean, if you went to Butler, do you really care if your kid's a Butler fan? Like, I'll give up the college stuff, no problem.
Brad Stevens is gone. Who cares?
Yeah, fuck Butler.
It's weird, though. Like, there's also the crazy super college fans, and those people would rather
their kid follow that team.
If you
Alabama
went to Georgetown, you would kill your kid if they, like, ever said, go Syracuse. There's weird people in the world.
Yeah, I'm definitely not one of them. I mean, because Fordham was no sports, so it was like, I just don't even have that gene in me, but... You know, I don't expect your kid to root for their dad's alma mater, unless it's like a Alabama football, I think, where it's like your life. I think it's a little bit much. You're asking a little too much.
Yeah, like I think my wife's only reservation for anything sports would be like if my kids were like, we're Ole Miss fans.
That's what I was
going to
ask.
Mississippi State. Like, that's it. Other than that, my wife wouldn't care. Like, I could be like, hey, babe, we're Spurs fans now. And she'd be like,
okay,
right on.
Yeah, let's go Spurs.
She wouldn't give a fuck.
Which we've discussed. Aren't you going to do that?
I'm thinking about it, man. Like, and people are trying to give me shit on the blog about it, but I'm just tired of losing, dude.
Hey,
like,
man.
I know this isn't
trust me. I hear you, bro.
Oh yeah, you're talking to the preacher to the
ultimate
choir.
Ultimate
right
losers.
But you guys have some. I mean, you're a Giants fan, like, so you've seen.
Oh, okay.
You've seen some success. Yeah. I'm a Jaguars, Magic, Devils, and Mississippi State guy. I mean, I haven't. When Mississippi State started 8-0 in 2014, it felt like we won the college football championship. That was like the best time of my life. I haven't seen a team of mine finish over 500 since, well, besides Mississippi State, but I mean, basically any powerhouse college, the major three sports teams that I like since 2008.
Yeah, I mean, it's an ugly life out there. I think that you just jumping on the San Antonio, one of the best franchises in sports, Spurs, is a little bit much, Chapsy.
Well, true, but I do live here, and I've already missed out on two. And with my luck, as soon as I say definitively, yes, I'm a Spurs fan, Kawhi is going to tear his Achilles.
Dynasty over.
He's going to be down, and Pop's like, I don't want to go through a rebuild. And who the fuck as a free agent's coming to San Antonio?
That is true. Like,
nope. Chaps is the guy that waited for Tim Duncan to retire to become a Spurs
fan. Right. Yeah. Guess what, bro? Too
like,
late.
Oh, live
okay?
here 5 years whenever they had one of the best records in the NBA over the course of time and won two titles? No, I'll wait for after that.
This is a perfect email. This comes from Johnny B. He says, fuck Zika. This goddamn virus ruined my last chance to get wasted in a tropical paradise before my little poop demon arrives. Much like Chappie and his
poop
wife.
Demon is a great name.
I wanted to see the soon-to-be mother of my child rock a bikini on the beach somewhere while I get smashed at a pool or beachside bar. My question is, what are some warm, Zika-free places that we could travel to this winter? Well, let me tell you, you can go to Anaheim, California, buddy. By the way, check the weather. It's going to be one of those bizarrely warm weekends here in New York.
Yep.
So it's going to be like 62, and it's supposed to like be 60 and raining in Anaheim.
We've never seen rain like this in a while.
Yeah.
The most miserable man on the planet goes to the happiest place on Earth, and this is what we get.
Yeah, it's this unstoppable force versus the immovable object. I tend to win those battles. He says, Hawaii is too far. He tried to pitch, let's go to Vegas and see a few shows, but she called out my bullshit. If I don't get one last vacation, I'll bury my feelings deep down and start yelling at inanimate objects like any respectable man would do with a kid on the way.
Does it say where he's from?
I don't believe it does. Let me see. Nope. His Twitter says, @Boston. Something Boston in his Twitter name.
Shout out to let's go take in a few shows. That's a great,
I mean,
great way to try to package that one. I respect the game.
Any self-respecting female who doesn't see immediately through that one. I want to go. It's like I read it for the articles. I want to go to Vegas for the shows.
To me, the answer here is San Diego.
Yeah, probably right. I mean, if you're going to go West Coast, San Diego is probably the nicest place, baby, basically in the world.
Four kids, right?
It sounds like one's on the way, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I mean, the trip I did was awesome. Like I said, we did San Fran, L.A., Anaheim, and San Diego. We did it during baseball season, and luckily we saw literally every California baseball team. If you drive from San Fran to L.A., it was cool, too. Like I said, it's really nice. Just don't do it once you have a kid, especially like when they're one. That would be a terrible, terrible idea.
But San Fran's not warm, though.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
true.
San Francisco.
Well, you know what I would say is a good trip? Well, I guess it kind of varies on what your style is. And I think you have to do it before she's pregnant because she's got to be able to drink. I think doing like a Napa trip is a good idea.
Oh, yeah, dude.
If you're into wine and it's like, I haven't done it yet myself because I didn't. And now
I'm sure they have plenty of non-alcoholic wines that his wife can enjoy.
I think that's a good trip for like you're married, you did your honeymoon, you want one more trip before your kid comes. You don't want to go to a beach. It's just a good trip to drink some wine. I think that's a very good idea. So that would be, but again, you have to do it before she can't drink.
To me, that's the prime. We just got married. We're like 25, 26, maybe a little bit, or even older. We just got married. That's where we want to go. You set that scene right. You have the vineyards going. You might end up like that young fella on 50 Shades of Darker Gray and end up fingering somebody in the elevator because shit's going to start
I'll tell
happening.
You what, that's where you make the baby. That's how it happens. That's how you end up listening to this podcast. By the way, this dude, Johnny B, he's got a reality check coming his way because he's talking about, I want to see my wife in the bikini. I want to get smashed by the pool. I want to party. Like, your life is coming to a rapid halt soon, bro. None of that is going to be going on anymore. So get it in now, buddy, because your life's about to change.
Every single place I thought of, too, is like, it's like Savannah, New Orleans. Like, only places she would have a miserable time being sober.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's, I mean, you can't do
picking
that.
Picking a fun vacation spot that doesn't center around booze for an adult is a very difficult thing. Even for our trip to Disney World this summer, I'm only looking forward to it because we're going to go to Epcot.
Right, and drink all around the world or whatever. Yeah, I mean, that's, alcohol is life, man. That's what it comes down to. Will writes in, he says, there's a little funny story here. KFC, your Beyonce take on the Houston show screwed me, and now I'm in the doghouse, and you owe me. First, the story. My wife is pregnant with our first kid, 14 weeks, and I've been listening to the show religiously to learn. As background, my wife and I live in the suburbs of Chicago and commute to the city on the same train. During the commute, she generally lets me listen to my podcast, but she's now aware that I'm listening to Podfather, ZBT, and PMT is my favorite. So I come in and I try to give her my standard, hi, honey, I'm home. I try to give her a kiss. She's having none of it. Turns out that in an effort to bond with the things that I like, she decided to watch The Rundown. And within 2 minutes of the Thursday show, you're talking about how pregnant women aren't attractive. So thanks for that. And thanks for helping out all the stoolies with pregnant wives. First, I'll address that. Your wife, all these women out there probably agree with me. That's all. Listen. When women are speaking honestly about how shitty it is to be pregnant, they think the same thing. You don't feel good. You don't take pictures. It's just, I spit the truth on that one.
You said, like, they're gross. They're disgusting people. Like,
I think that women, when they were to speak the truth about their pregnancy, would agree with the same thing.
When I was there, I only heard it on the loudspeaker, and I thought that was Dave's voice. I am shocked that came out of your mouth.
My brother, I saw my brother in the crowd.
The possibility of you having another child might happen fairly soon. The fact that you said, no wonder you were in the doghouse
when
you came back.
I mean, I got a text right away that
she
night.
She probably booked the flight as
that
you were
day,
saying.
Yeah. Like, I saw Super Producer BC's face just drop. Like, he just covered his eyes and looked to the ground like, I can't believe you said that. And you know what? I can't believe I said that. I went in being like, my take is going to be, I don't think you should post those pictures. I think it's a private moment. And what came out was, you're gross and disgusting.
I said, I actually had friends over that weekend for the Super Bowl, and I was like, oh, they had the show on Comedy Central. Let's watch it. And I turned on that episode. I was like, oh, Beyonce. I forgot what they said. And then that came out, and they looked at me. I'm like, oh, I am in trouble right now.
Whatever.
And these are people with kids, too.
This
and
is
like,
what you
oh,
do.
Boy.
These are the sacrifices.
That's something that happens a lot with us, though, is that if somebody says it, it's like you speak as a collective. Like, everybody thinks that, like, that you work with. That's not fair. Like, because Stephen A. Smith says some ridiculous-ass shit, but nobody's ascribing that.
Oh,
to, like,
here comes White Knight Chapsie. I don't believe that. They're beautiful and glowing, and KFC's a misogynist.
That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying just in general, like, that's one of the things that happens with us at work. Like, no matter what anybody says, like, I was like, oh, you want to suck Bieber's dick. Well, just because Dave does doesn't mean I do.
Yeah, but you know what? It's like win as a team, lose as a team. So we all get to ride the waves of other people, so you got to ride the
You're riding me, mine and Chaps's wave, Kevin. Let's just call it what it is. No, I'm sick of you riding my waves. Of positivity.
Actually, this is a good time to bring it up because when we were all live tweeting the Grammys, was it?
Grammys.
Yeah.
Yep.
And like Chaps was body bagging that chick who was talking shit, and like I'm being all ignorant with the beehive, and I was just like, this is Barstool. Like, you can't fuck with us. We are the strongest force on the internet. I love it.
I guess I want to win with everybody. I just don't want to take L's with
everybody. Yeah, no, I hear that. And that's, you know, it's just part
separate
of the gig.
Myself, like, hey, I'm in Texas. Like, I don't even know what's going on.
I don't even work technically there. I'm just a loose connection. All right, so this guy's question, Will, he says, I would like an opinion. I've been told by numerous people, family members and randoms included, that I need to take all of these baby classes. Obviously, I need to take the standard class to learn how to care for my child, but are there any add-on classes to avoid or ones that you should definitely check out? Am I getting scammed on certain classes? I'm trying to remember. I mean, Chaps, this is a...
I'm just going to say a huge fucking no. Like,
just a whole fucking no. No, here's why you have to take the classes. Because your wife thinks you have to take the classes. Like,
if you could talk your wife out of it and she's okay with it, you're good. But
yes.
If she persists, then take it.
Happy wife, happy life. Yep. I mean, we took a CPR class, and I would say that's a valuable thing to learn. Am I really going to be able to put it into practice, like perfect CPR? Hell fucking no. But
just kind of push on their bellies.
Yeah, just fucking wiggle them around until it comes out of their lungs.
Blow some air on their face.
I've thought of it multiple times because we didn't take the CPR class, and I'm like, all right, you're going to be the one on YouTube, and I'll be the one like just jabbing her right in the gut, like, go.
Like, in the heat
can't
of the moment.
By the way, I'm fucking.
I honestly always think that to myself. I'm like, am I going to remember that? Am I going to remember that that's the tune you gotta play?
Michael Scott.
If shit hits the fan and, God forbid, she's actually choking, I'm not going to remember the class that I took like fucking 2 years ago. But, again, I did do one that was like, almost like the pre-Cana of babies. Mm-hmm. It was like a Saturday afternoon. It was like 6 hours. And I remember being like, I think I might kill myself before this baby even. I'm never going to get to see this baby. It was a room with strangers. There were people who knew, like, I felt like a goddamn rock star because I knew, like, the basics. I was with, like, the idiots of the world who probably shouldn't even have kids. I was like, this is a total waste of time. But, you know, you got to do what your wife wants to do. Sometimes you got to go to a class. Sometimes you got to go to Anaheim, California. What do you mean?
Like,
no,
was it you and the wife?
Yeah, me and the wife, yeah.
Because I went to one solo. It was just a dad's class, dad's only. And it's probably like, and it was actually run by the hospital. So call your hospital up. Some hospitals, this was for free at the hospital. And it's just dads only because they're like, moms will figure this shit out because they actually have a brain and motherly instinct. So it's like, this is how to not kill your kid. And it was actually a very beneficial thing just in terms of carrying the kids because I never touch any kids, like carry them at all until they're like 6 years old, basically.
Clem, I am absolutely shocked that you actually went in and just sit in your car.
Yeah, like, oh, honey, it was great. You just sit at the bar for a while.
Oh, so good.
Yeah. I was so scared about, like, dropping my baby. Like, this is honestly the two things. One was being scared not to how to hold it right. And two, which they taught me, I did not know how to properly wipe a vagina. So those are the two things that I learned, and they were very, very useful.
Yeah, you got to go.
Vaginas are problematic for sure.
Front to back on that one.
Vaginas are problematic.
They really are.
For sure.
They're just a goddamn puzzle, and it's like, I don't have one. I don't know what's going on. I don't
like 75 holes in there. Like, we did this little quiz the other night where my wife was asking me for some science shit, like asking me what I know about like periods and stuff, like what actually happens. I got probably like 40%, which I thought was pretty good.
I was going to say, I'd sign for
40%
right now.
Methods of how to stop a period from getting on your underwear is like tampons. They're like, sure, you know about tampons, maxi pads, but what else is there?
What? There's a third thing?
There's more. There's like five things.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean.
There's like special panties that you could just like bleed out into. Like,
okay. Okay. That's absolutely enough.
There's like this cup that you can like put in your britches or something.
Oh, by the way. I don't know why this happened. Last week, sort of went like pseudo-viral on Black Twitter. It was just a video of this woman giving birth standing up. She basically just like popped it out. I don't know why I watched it. I did. It was fucking wild. And as they're filming, you could tell that they're one of these like holistic families.
Yep.
So the dad's filming. The mom's just like sitting there like pushing away with her legs spread. And then, like, as the baby comes flying out, like, dangling from the fucking umbilical cord, another kid, like an 8-year-old, like, walks into the camera frame. I'm like, what is going on?
That's some hippie shit right there, man.
It's just, there's a lot
it
of...
It gave me the same experience, you know, when you watch the Russians that are, like, doing... They're climbing on, like, high cranes and shit. The same feeling, like, in my balls are just like, no. It's weird I have those visceral reactions because I have those, like, when I'm watching something that I know is going to be painful. Like, I feel it, like... in my testicles. Like, I know something bad is going to... Same kind of thing happens whenever I think about pickles. Like, I get kind of the taste in my mouth.
Okie dokie.
Chaps, did this come up at all in the conversation? How does the sponge work from Seinfeld? Have we ever figured that out? The sponge,
dude. Female condoms, contraception, all that shit. I have no idea. I'm like, a sponge? Does it just soak it up?
Yeah,
because it just soaked up before it gets in there.
A very risky.
That's
proposition.
An IUD, right? Isn't that kind of what an IUD is?
I don't trust any of that. I need you to be taking a pill that like fucks with your blood system and stops it from happening. Anything else? The patch? No way. The one thing you can get like a shot and it's like you're good for like several months. Don't trust that. I need daily regimented pills that stops this from happening, or I don't trust it. This is a good email here from Mikey, and I like this. We get a lot of advice questions, and we try to give it, but this is more of an idea that I kind of like. Big fan of the podcast. I recently graduated, haven't landed a job yet, so I've had a lot of time on my hands. I've come up with a solution for the so-called epidemic of bullying that's going on in schools. It's a little bit long, so bear with him. He wants a bullying class to be instilled in school. So it's a class where the teacher bullies the students as practice for when they actually get bullied. He says it's a classic getting out ahead of the problem. So it's going to be a problem regardless. Let's just do it. So he says, look, for one, an adult is going to be better at bullying than the neighborhood fat kid. And due to the increased skills of the professor, or preferably the person who was the bully in their younger years, the coping skills of the kids will be undeniably going up at a faster rate. It's like getting, he says it's like getting yelled at by a football coach. He goes on and on. This is a very long description here. I'm not going to do all of it. I'm not saying I agree with this, but I like this kind of question that we get cooking. It's like almost like a KFC Radio Podfathers type of hybrid here. Would you send your kid to a bullying class?
Let me go one step further. I would quit Barstool if I could go to a school and just roast kids all day.
Be the teacher bully.
Yeah, if I could just go line up some second graders and just absolutely rip into them, knowing their comebacks would be shit, and I would just walk out of there feeling like $1 million.
Old lame crying, comeback just, face ass.
Yeah. You fucking little bitch.
He goes on to say he's like, you'd have a female bully professor as well to teach girls the vindictive, passive-aggressive ways of our female counterparts.
That's important.
I mean, it's not a terrible idea. It's one of those things where it's like, you know, they should teach you in school how to like do your taxes.
Yeah.
Like life, practical life things. If the first time some like fat bully tries to roast you, you can be like, I remember back to my bully class. No. You're projecting onto me because you're fat and ugly. No. Boom. Like I'm unbullyable because I was taught how to deal this.
Undressed his ass.
It's a risky move. You're throwing your kid into just basically get bullied around by chaps. But in the long run, I don't know. I think I could get down with it. I don't think I could do it to a girl. I think I could do it to my son.
Get bullied by an ex-Marine. That's like, that is like.
It's like scared straight kind of.
It's really like major pain in real life.
Yeah, exactly.
And that movie ended, spoiler, tremendously for all the kids involved. They really grew from it.
If he's still in there, he's got a problem.
So would you do it? I mean, obviously, this is far-fetched, but, like, do you think that there is a way that you could, like, teach a class about bullying? Maybe not have chaps up there roasting, but do you think that there's a way a school teacher or someone could address bullying? Get out, as he says, quote, get out in front of it.
I think they kind of do that already. Like, bullying is such a huge, in elementary school now, such a huge focus of bullying.
But here's the difference. It's almost like when they teach abstinence in sex ed and the people are like, we should be giving them condoms because we know what's going to happen anyway. I feel like schools now are probably teaching you, like, don't bully, not here's what to do when you do get bullied.
I think there's elements of that, too, that they do. So I want to try to give them a little bit of credit. But because my daughter is sensitive as shit. If there was somebody who actually was intelligent, not some dumb little fuck second grader that was roasting them, like, and it was like really going on insecurities, because I would find it if I was the teacher, and I would make them cry.
I could, like, I will pick you apart, little girl.
Yeah, some second grade little fuck isn't going to do it as well as an adult would. So take the chances there.
Have a bully class, if you can learn how to counterpunch. Because a bully, when you counterpunch, it's like King Hippo. He's impossible to fucking get. Once you get that one and then the belly is exposed, that bully's down. He doesn't get up. Once you knock King Hippo down once, he's down for the count. So I think it's just a matter of learning how to counterpunch a bully, and like
dude,
Chap said,
you just describe what you do. You put these kids in a room, you play Punch Out, and you just explain. You show them King Hippo.
Yep.
And that's there you go. That's lesson.
Put your kids in jujitsu for a couple of weeks and teach them the ABCs of jujitsu, which is always be choking. Once they get bullied a few times and they remember their real ABCs, it's over.
Let's just tell them to resort to violence. I mean, that wins.
I feel like that's. Kids should be able to fucking fight a little
Absolutely.
Bit. Like,
throw
I
fists.
I feel like that's one thing that really screws up now is that kids can't punch each other in the face. Like, they're not going to get really hurt, but it solves some legit problems. I remember getting in fights when I was little and got my ass whooped a couple times, but then those guys become my friend because you get those aggression out. I don't think that all fights should result in, like, the school resource officer coming out and, like, charges and all that shit.
So just Chaps basically wants Fight Club. He wants Fight Club for the children.
Survival of the fittest.
My favorite internet video is when a bully gets his ass kicked.
Yeah, those are always very satisfying.
And the funny part is, I feel like half the time it's just the smaller kid is like the kid getting picked on, even though he could be the bully for all we know. Like, there's no backstory.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's always great seeing the big motherfucker or who you think is the bully get his ass kicked. So I mean, I'm 100% with you, Chaps, on that.
All right, last email today from the diaper bag. Boys, I'm single. Let me get a name. This is Colt. Actually, after I read this email, you'll realize that the name Colt is perfect for this. Boys, I'm single, no kids, and I'm an awesome Uncle Jesse to my friends' kids. And I'm a single mom magnet. When I get in deep and they want me to meet the kids, I have no idea how to handle it. Being raised by a single parent myself, I don't want to be that guy that leaves at some point after meeting their kids. How the hell do I go about this? Uncle Jesse Colt over here, like, oh, woe is me. I got to call into the Podfathers. How can I successfully bang all these single moms? Tell me, guys. I don't fucking know, man. I don't know. Just keep doing what you're doing. It sounds like it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, when someone asks you to meet their kids, I feel like that's probably you either say yes because you know you're going to pursue something with them, or that's the time to say, no, never mind. I'm just banging you because I'm Uncle Jesse.
The only thing that keeps popping into my mind is a scene from Good Will Hunting when Matt Damon is dressing down the dude that goes to Harvard in the bar with Minnie Driver, and he's like, you're going to have two certainties in life. One, don't do that. Like, that's what
yeah.
I feel like he just needs to listen to point one.
Right.
Don't do that. Going after single moms is dirty. Like, that's just a dirty move.
Well, it
and
sounds like
he's just charmed.
He's
not
just
his fault.
A magnet. It's not his choice.
That's the biggest bunch of bullshit I've ever heard. Oh, they just happen to love me so much because I'm so... Shut the fuck up, dude. Move on, fucking Colt.
I mean, no, listen. I mean, single moms want a date, too. I think you just got to be very upfront with them and before you start involving kids. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't understand where you're at where you're meeting all these single moms.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is, like, you're a magnet because you're probably, like, hanging around the fucking, like, PTA meetings or dude.
Get some single friends, dude. Like,
yeah, I'll be honest. If you don't have kids, if you're like a single parent yourself, I can understand where you're like, I'm going to run through these single moms.
Yeah.
But if you don't have kids and you're finding yourself in a situation where you're around a bunch of single moms all the time, you're probably like a borderline sexual deviant.
You got to change your game up for sure. Did he say his age? 27?
Yeah, he didn't say his age. It sounds like, I don't know, young enough to be banging single moms.
I will say. I'll come to my boy Colt's defense here. At least he's not like fucking with these kids' minds and everything. And, like,
yeah, I think it's totally fine to go like preying on single moms. But the minute they're like, "Do you want to meet my kids?" you have to say like, "I'm actually not that interested in you. Yeah. I'm not gonna fuck with you and your kids. I'm out of here."
Single moms need dick too, so it's nothing wrong. He's just giving a service, and I mean, as long as he's honest with them and they're honest with him, and he doesn't fuck with the kids, I think it's a very healthy relationship. And Colt, if you want to settle down. Probably like stop hanging around the playground and go to the bar after work. You know what I mean?
I can't see any possible way how this blows up in his face at all. It's two adults agreeing. They all know where they stand. That always works, right? Women always just that never blows up in anybody's
face. My niece
face.
And nephews love me though.
All right, that's it, everybody. If you're listening to this, say your prayers for me because as you listen, I'm in Anaheim, California. Hopefully I'll be back next week, but I don't know. Maybe I won't survive. Who knows?
It's like the Barney Gumble line from The Simpsons. He goes, "Don't pray for me. I'm already dead."
Are we doing?
Yeah, let's wrap up. Story? Let's wrap up with our bedtime stories because God knows I'm gonna need them. Chapsy, you got one?
No, and I brought it up, so I was kind of fucked
up.
Oh,
yeah, I was like, you must have one. You must be ready to go. Clem, you got one?
I got one, and then I have a little bit of a follow-up from last week's.
Okay.
All right, so first I'll start with the bedtime story. So on the way home, the weekend came on, the I Feel It Coming song, and I was playing it, and I said, Sienna, I like this song. Do you like the song? And she goes, no, I like Pinky's song. So it goes back to my Bruno Mars thing, obsessive Bruno Mars. So then my wife was in the car with me as well, and I said, do you like Mommy? She goes, I love Mommy. And I said, do you like Daddy? She goes, I like Daddy. And I was like, you little fucking weasel in the backseat. You shit on my song, even though you're a Bruno fan, and then you shit on me. And then this was a follow-up to last week. So last night, going to bed. So last week I talked about how we sang You Got a Friend in Me.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to bed, and I'm trying to get her down, and she's fighting me. And then finally, she's like, let's sing Woody's song. So I taped it on the phone, and here is a little duet of You Got a Friend.
Oh, wow. Yep. We're in for a treat.
You got a friend in me.
When the road looks rough ahead.
Sing it, Clem.
Miles from your nice warm bed.
That was awesome.
I like it.
It was
Clem.
A nice little
It sounds like Papa Clem's enjoying himself a lot there. It's like, oh, I have to sing for my daughter. Meanwhile, he's probably looking at himself in the mirror, yeah, pretending to have a microphone.
I come home full fucking Woody outfit and a hat and stirrups.
Have you got one now, chaps?
Yeah, man. So Otto is brand new, right? Like, we've had him for a little over a week now, and he's meshing in good. But my favorite thing probably about Otto is McCartney doesn't call him Otto. She solely calls him Direwolf. She thinks it's like her own little personal Direwolf. So every time he comes, she's like, Direwolf. When I pick her up from school, she's like, how was Direwolf today? And because I always called Gus, our other dog, before, I called him Blog Dog because he would just kind of sit by me when I was writing for work and stuff. So he'd be like Blog Dog, and now we have Direwolf too. So that was a pretty fun thing about having a new dog, even though parts of it sucks.
I need to get a picture of Otto. I don't have Direwolf picture.
He's on Twitter. Check him out. At Uncle Chaps. You'll see the pictures.
Oh, I'll follow you today.
He's also on the Instagram.
My bedtime story. So we recently transferred from daycare to a nanny. And while that's been awesome, I didn't think about like certain things that daycare had that we didn't. And by chance, my buddy came up to see my house for the first time. So he brought like a little gift. And it was one of those tunnels, like a little like expandable tunnel.
Those are awesome.
And she had one in daycare and loved it. And I didn't even think about the fact we didn't have one at home. And so we took her out of daycare, and she has a nanny now, and she didn't have any tunnel. So I opened up the tunnel, and she lit up and like started crawling back and forth in between it, like loving it. And I was like, I actually felt bad. I was like, shit, I got to think about all the other things that daycare had that we didn't. But my buddy, like, he thought, you know, he felt like a rock star because it was a gift, like a baby. You know when you give a baby gift that's like, to put it in perspective, his first gift to Shay was like a 6-foot giant teddy bear. And I was like, thanks, dude. Where am I going to put this in my apartment for this baby who doesn't even know what the fuck how to do it? But then he comes through in the clutch with the tunnel, and I'm crawling in it with her, and the dog's running back and forth. It was like just the littlest thing, and you could see that she was like, my tunnel's back, you know? So good on my buddy. Good for Shay.
Get a tunnel for your kids if they don't have – tunnels are awesome.
They work, too.
They're
I feel
so
like
easy.
They just go back and forth because they're dumb. And then I was actually having some fun in the tunnel. I was like, you know, crawling in there too. It's like a fort. So that's it for me. Send your prayers, and hopefully I'll be back after Disneyland.